Season 4, Episode 9, Midweek Bonus Edition. I'm still sucking on Fisherman's Friend lozenges to nurse my stupid voice. You know, it's okay to have little short bursts of yapping, but when you do a 50-minute podcast of constant yapping, you start sounding like you can be maybe doing a play-by-play of a golf tournament. So, well, anyway, don't pay any attention to the voice. Pay attention to the stupidity.
You big dummy, you big dummy, you big dummy. On a dirt quad out in space, where it stops, nobody knows. Because it's a great big stupid world.
The stupid stories you're going to hear in this podcast are all true. I've not changed a single name, because we're all stupid. And my voice is still being stupid, too. You know, I've come to know what a great friend Fisherman's Friend cough suppressant lozenges are, you know? I've been eating these things like candy. Of course, my head feels like it's been, you know, stuck in a nuclear reactor. But hopefully, I'll get through this. By the way, while my voice is being still stupid, I got plenty of stupid stories. And you know what? They're all 5 stars. What was that? So give it a 5-star rating, okay? And in fact, if you even write a review of the podcast, I just might even read it. So if you give it a good 5-star rating and review it, this podcast shows up in searches for folks that are trying to search for stupidity. And I know you probably are doing that. It's called doom scrolling. Oh, and share the podcast on your social media feeds, too, you know, because you don't want to be known for being stingy with your stupidity. And if you haven't already done so, go ahead and subscribe. That way you get your stupid fix automatically every time new episodes are published on your podcast player. And a little hack here, if you're listening for the very first time and you're trying to listen and you have inadequate cell or internet coverage, download the episode, because then you can listen buffer free. Okay, this is the midweek bonus episode because there's just not enough time or room to stuff it all into the weekend episode with me and my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero. So with this bonus episode, we've got our insane weekend review and the genius awards. And see, when you subscribe, you get the bonus episode and the weekend episode automatically. You don't have to keep going around looking for it because you don't want to go looking for something like this. Like one guy just looking for trouble. I don't know why you would even make a reality show when you're doing something illegal. I don't know. I might have even discovered a major hole in my own plan to make a reality show about maybe robbing banks. You know, why not? So, with that in mind, I give you this tale of one 48-year-old Johnny Wayne Griffiths. Johnny Wayne placed second on a show on the Discovery Channel back in 2020 called Moonshiners Master Distiller. Well, now he's on a show called Alabama Shine that's premiered on the Country Network. I think he might have flown a little too close to the sun this time because he got arrested for making moonshine. Duh. In one of the first episodes that aired, he talked about evading law enforcement. Oh, yeah, that's good. Just taunt them. That always makes them happy. Of course, cops in Alabama decided to look into what he was up to. So he was right in the middle of making his next batch of hooch when they raided the place. The revenuers found him. They found an active still, 5 gallons of moonshine, another 19 quarts of flavored moonshine. Now he's facing charges for making and distributing prohibited beverages. I wonder if they have a reality show for former moonshiners in prison. That might be a pretty good episode, I think. Anyway, of course, you've heard me and my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero, talking about tattoos, whether I should get a tattoo. Now, he doesn't have a tattoo. I don't think I need a tattoo because as pale as I am, it just, I don't think would look good. You know, I think you got to have at least some degree of tanning to make a tattoo look good. For me, it looks like graffiti. And, you know, that are also involved needles and pain, and I'm just not into that. And tattoos, you know, back whenever I was a kid, used to be a sign you were kind of anti-establishment, maybe a bit impulsive. Definitely tough, and I'm not really a tough guy. Because I'll tell you, these suckers hurt, okay? But maybe not for long. There's a team at Georgia Tech. They've invented painless tattoos. That's right, painless tattoos. Now, normal tattoos, you know, involve a small needle jabbing you over and over and over. Something I really look forward to. But this new technique doesn't use needles at all. Well, at least not the conventional ones. Instead, there's a patch with thousands of microscopic needles on one side. They're so small, you can't even feel them. But the tattoo is still permanent. You see, the needles, they're not even made of metal. They're actually made of tattoo ink that's encased in a material strong enough to get through your skin. And then it dissolves. Each tiny needle represents a single pixel, and, well, they can be arranged in any way that you want to create letters and design. So instead of a tattoo artist, you could actually design it on a computer, order the patch online, and stick it on you all by yourself. They also say they'll even be cheaper than a normal tattoo, and there's a lower risk of infection because there's no blood. You know, it's like those old lickable tattoos you used to get in Cracker Jacks. Except these will be permanent. Still doesn't make me want to go out and get a tattoo. Well, I know that, you know, I have such an aversion to tattoos like everybody has an aversion to spammers. However, after you hear this story, you might want spammers to call you. There's a guy named Omar Corey. He runs a small IT company in North Carolina. He has had a lot of free time on his hands early in that pandemic that we had. So he decided to start actually answering all of the calls he would get from telemarketers so he could threaten to sue them like a lot of us. You know, he's on the do not call list. A lot of good that does. So they're technically not allowed to call him. But of course, you and I both know most people don't just jump through hoops to actually do anything about it. He says he would not suggest other people try this because, well, basically, it's pretty much a full-time job. But he ended up getting settlements from 20 to 30 different companies. And are you ready for the grand total? $100,000. Now, a guy in Texas did the same thing here not long ago and made like 75 grand in a year. So now this guy, Omar, he's figured out what he wants to do with all that money. He's decided he wants to buy a bar. So he bought this bar in downtown Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And guess what he's going to call it? The wrong number. Here's Omar breaking down his whole strategy.
I just started answering those calls and answering their questions enough to figure out who they are. And then once I figured out who they were, I was able to go after them. When I last counted, it was just over $100,000. It's going to be called the wrong number. Yep. The whole telemarketer thing just kind of gave it a backstory I didn't have before. So that's how the wrong number came about is, well, hey, they called the wrong number because then they had to deal with me. And it led to a bar.
Now, he's going to do a soft open. And he's really staying on theme with this here. A lot of the spam calls that he got came from debt companies. So the drink menu will include one called debt relief. And another drink will be called car warranty. And I'm sure he'll be laughing all the way to the bank. Well, I certainly hope that catches on to other people. But I also hope these catch on. Because, well, they kind of look funny. And I always look for opportunities to laugh at people. But you and I both have been annoyed by those loud phone talkers, too oblivious to really care about the fact they're just plain rude. There's a company in Japan. They've got a new Bluetooth mouthpiece that literally straps over your mouth, on your face, and muffles your voice for phone calls in public. It's called, you ready for this? MuTalk. kind of a mashup of mute and talk. Maybe you pronounce it mute talk. Anyway, it's for loud talkers who just can't keep their voice down when they make calls. They're obviously pretty bulky, and they kind of look like a VR headset for your mouth. It takes a big elastic strap to keep it in place, obviously, if you want to use it hands-free. When it's on your face, it creates this air pressure pocket that prevents sound from escaping through the air hole. They say that it actually lowers the volume of your voice by like 20 decibels or maybe 30 for the really loud talkers. So even somebody sitting right next to you cannot make out what you're saying. They're not really available yet, but watch, they should be shipping here pretty soon. They're going to cost you about $140. Frankly, you could probably spend $14 and just get a sock, stick it in your mouth. Well, a woman walks into a North Dakota bar carrying a raccoon. No, this isn't a joke. It actually led health officials to warn everybody there who had contact with the coon about possible rabies exposure. The bartender, Cindy Smith, said she was serving drinks at the Matic Bar when a local resident shows up and brings in the coon during happy hour. There were about 10 people in the saloon at the time, she says. Smith said she immediately asked the woman, please take your coon outside. But she didn't. She took the coon around to the bar to show another customer. So the woman eventually departed with the animal after about 5 minutes. But really? I just like the fact you can start off a good joke. A woman and a coon walk into a bar. Of course, usually the only disease you have to worry about in the bar is alcoholism, frankly. I remember the good old days, you know, when the only place you'd ever see a coon is in your garbage. Well, did she leave a tip? I don't know. Speaking of that, you know, you've been to the places where they prompt you for a tip, right? Restaurants and things like that. The prompt, in this case, allowed for a tip of up to 20%. But it wasn't a restaurant. It was a routine checkup for Roger's dogs, a guy by the name of Roger. Yeah, but the prompt, which something he'd never gotten before, made him wonder what was being done differently at his vet clinic. He says, it kind of made me think, well, are they just being nice to my dogs to try to get an extra tip? Well, the practice of tipping hasn't, well, I guess, been limited to restaurants. It's actually expanded rapidly into other sectors where it really wasn't traditionally expected. And now all of a sudden it seems like everywhere you go, you're being asked to tip. The coffee shops, the retailers, and in this case, the veterinarian's office. Now, while tipping at restaurants is often expected, obviously because servers don't really make a lot of money, much less a living wage, labor experts say companies and businesses are taking advantage of the practice, ergo taking advantage of your good graces. And you're often, as I am, caught off guard by it. So would you tip your veterinarian? Yeah, I'll give him a tip. Find somewhere else to practice. Because I'm not coming back. Okay, delivery drivers. Don't judge me if I'm jonesing for some Funyuns and a Mountain Dew Red Code Red, okay? You've got no idea what my day was like. Well, some woman goes on TikTok and complains after her DoorDash driver delivered some junk food and left a rather passive-aggressive note in the bag with it. Her girlfriend ordered a bag of Cheetos, some taquitos, and a Dr. Pepper from a convenience store. The note says, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Now, in the video, she explains that her girlfriend did recently see a doctor who told her to gain weight. And by the way, she's got digestive issues, so Cheetos and taquitos were the only thing she could stomach that night. Actually, here is the user, the TikTok user, that goes by Awkward Marina, complaining about the note.
My girlfriend, who by the way is disabled and has digestive issues, ordered some junk food that she could eat. And you guys sent a message in it that said, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
And if that wasn't bad enough, on top of all of this, the girl cannot even eat apples. So the note was 100% not helpful or appreciated. She called it inappropriate and blatantly fatphobic. DoorDash says the whole thing just might have been a big misunderstanding and mix-up. Of course they would say that. See, sometimes they have drivers that they put fun little notes in people's bags. They kind of think that this might have been really intended for a different order, presumably one with apples in it, but they are looking into it. So I don't know whether we have an inconsiderate DoorDash driver or a thin-skinned customer. I don't know. No idea. Anyway. Well, okay. I know that she got a little pent up, maybe raged a little bit on TikTok about it. But the people that you really get the road ragers are on the road. Okay. Some people are such anger balls that they seem like maybe professional road ragers. Well, you can't actually be a pro at it, but I'm sure you can be paid for it. Yeah, well, we've got a story coming up later on in the podcast this week about a road rager. But I'll just leave it there. But maybe that road rager needs to take a listen to this particular story. There's a website called vehiclefreak.com. They're looking for one angry driver to take part in a study examining road rage, and they'll pay you $4,000 for your time. Since there's only one position available, well, you got to be pretty aggressive, confrontational, and reckless at pursuing the opportunity. So this is how it's going to work. The chosen road rager will be asked to take part in 3 2-hour driving sessions per week over a month-long period. They're going to be put in various scenarios through a driving simulator, and their reactions will be monitored alongside their heart rate and blood pressure. The person will also be required to keep a road rage diary. And you must be 25, have at least 1 year of driving experience, and you'll have to provide examples of your road rage experience. So now we're studying road rage. Is that going to help eliminate it, I hope? I don't know. Well, from road raging to carjacking, we have a Florida man named Michael Gordon. This guy is being praised as a hero after he stopped an alleged carjacking happening in the parking lot of a Chick-fil-A. These Chick-fil-A folks, man, they're like supermen and superwomen, you know? There was a release from the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office where a woman was getting her baby out of her car in the Chick-fil-A parking lot in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And this guy approaches her with a stick and orders her to hand over the keys. Well, the victim says the man then reached over and snatched the keys off of her waistband, climbed into the car, and then the woman began to scream. A Chick-fil-A employee named Gordon intervened. Now, TMZ called what to happen next akin to a wild MMA takedown as Gordon started tussling with the suspect. ID'd this guy. He was 43-year-old William Branch of Defunyac Springs. The sheriff's office fingered the guy's identity. They posted a video of part of the confrontation. Soon after, others came to assist Gordon, who the sheriff's office say ended up getting punched in the face by Branch as they were struggling. He said that, thankfully, nobody was seriously injured. After the man was tackled and held down until the police got there, a female bystander with her own baby began scolding the man for trying to rob somebody with a baby. Now, the operator of the Chick-fil-A location, Matthew Sexton, told CNN he's grateful for Gordon's actions. He says, "I couldn't be prouder of his incredible act of care." Branch, meanwhile, was arrested and charged with carjacking and weapons and battery charges. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office put the whole video up online of the encounter. So, yeah, we go. See, another reason why you should eat at Chick-fil-A. Now, they didn't sponsor the podcast, but I'd be happy to take their advertising dollars if they decided to. Well, are you ready for this? I don't know whether this is going to be a deterrent to promiscuous sex or what, but now we're finding that herpes and HIV can be preventable without a condom, thanks to cow snot. That's right, cow mucus might be the secret tool for controlling the spread of sexually transmitted infections. Researchers have developed a lubricating gel using cow snot as the basis to trap viral particles and eliminate them. Now, using the word lubricant, knowing it's made from cow snot, is enough to deter me from any kind of, you know, prurient activity. Look that word up. But the lubricant showed to be 70% effective against HIV and 80% effective against herpes. Over 1 million people get STIs every day, most people not even realizing it because of the asymptomatic infections. Now, one concerning sexually transmitted disease, of course, is AIDS, acquired from HIV, which remains a global epidemic. Young girls and women are 2 times as likely to get HIV than boys and young men. The goal of this cow snot lubricant is to offer sexually active individuals another option for taking care of their sexual health. I know how you can take care of your sexual health. Don't do it! Duh! Well, I mean, like, for instance, it could be used as an alternative for people who may not use condoms or if the condom doesn't work. Abstinence works every time. You remember that? Anyway, the authors write in the paper, "We developed a gel-based lubricant that has significant potential use for the prophylaxis of individuals exposed to HIV-1 and or HSV-2. The lubricant is based on mucin. It's a component of the mucus that's made in the human body. Mucin molecules actually bind and trap HIV and herpes viruses, and it leaves them immobilized. The lubricant underwent several viral prophylactic tests against several types of cells. Just remember, if you want to play around, you can now do it unprotected from a condom, only you're being protected by the cow snot of old Bessie out there in the farmyard, okay? For some reason, that just is very anticlimactic.
It's a great big stupid world, and we're feeling kind of queasy as it turns around.
You know, everybody has a little stupidity in their world, and frankly, I would like to hear about it, okay? If you've maybe got a great stupid story from your stupid world, maybe you just want to respond to one of mine. I'd like to hear about it. Let me hear from you. You can contact me easily just by email at shoutout@insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E, or if you got a question or a comment about something that you've heard on the podcast or something that Pancho Guerrero has said on the podcast, or maybe you just want to tell me of some firsthand experience of some stupidity you've encountered, well, let me know. I want to hear from you. I might even use your comments on an upcoming episode. So record a message for me at podcast.insaneericlane.com and give me your feedback, okay? And by the way, if you haven't done so already, and I just can't imagine why you haven't already, follow me on social media. You can look me up on Facebook or Twitter by searching out the handle Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E.
And now, from the news desk of Insane Eric Lane, it's the Week in Review.
New York City has declared Times Square a gun-free zone. That ought to do the trick, because all those people selling cocaine, counterfeit handbags, and hookers would never break the law. I don't know about guns, but based on the people hanging around Times Square, you'd think they declared a close-free zone. New research shows that eating during the day instead of at night might lower the risk of anxiety and depression symptoms. But if you eat something like White Castle for lunch, you'll still suffer from emotional damage after your time on the toilet bowl. Not eating at night sounds totally doable until you have to deal with a family member at 8 p.m. suffering from the worst emotion of all, hanger. A new poll reveals that the average American has accidentally sent 6 intimate messages or photos to the wrong person. This brings a whole new meaning to receiving junk mail. I do enjoy, though, when people text photos of their cats and dogs, but I definitely do not want someone sending over some random sweater puppies or a trouser snake. The cost of holiday flights will hit a 5-year high this year, according to the latest analysis by fare tracking platforms called Hopper. Needless to say, when purchasing tickets, this is not the Mile High Club you thought you'd be joining. Hopper lead economist Haley Berg says significant factors include jet fuel prices, fewer flights scheduled, and 2 years of pent-up holiday travel demand. The bad news is you might not be traveling this holiday season. The good news is you don't have to spend time with your family. Michigan State University senior is claiming a sandwich that she ordered from an East Lansing Subway had an extra topping she did not ask for. Feces. But Subway workers just reminded her that their sandwiches always taste like poop. Kelsey Kyone posted a TikTok after discovering what she thinks was fecal matter on her lunch. A spokesperson claimed that it was actually chocolate. The sample given to authorities has not been tested yet to determine who is in the right, but we do have the customer, Kelsey Konye, telling her side of the story.
I went to Subway. I ordered a sub. Kind of weird interaction. Go into the parking lot to eat it, and I noticed that the parking lot just smells like sewage. I'm like, okay, so I had a bite, and I took it home to eat it there. I go and take a bite, look in the papers in between the two wrappers on the sandwich. There's feces. We're not sure if it's dog or if it's human.
Now, if this is true, this is incredible because you usually poop after you eat Subway. Fans can return to the world of Pandora in a way they have never seen before as tickets for the theatrical re-release of James Cameron's Avatar are now on sale. Avatar kills at the box office, and I imagine how well it will do now people going could actually lend some dates. Yeah, with the launch of ticket sales, two exclusive posters for the movie have been released to celebrate its triumphant return to theaters, and you can see them hung up in parents' basements around the country. On his radio show, Howard Stern slammed annoying U.S. coverage of the Queen's death, and, well, if anybody knows about covering something in an annoying manner, it's got to be Howard Stern. Howard and the Queen could not be any different. One used to be a respected figure, but slowly degraded into an old, washed-up hack. The other is the Queen. President Biden held an event celebrating the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act just hours after a dismal report showing that the Consumer Price Index rose 8.3% in August from a year ago. The inflation report was so high, it crashed the stock market. Apparently, inflation identifies as low. Nancy Pelosi looked absolutely giddy on the White House lawn as her policies tanked the stock market. I guess somebody was buying the dip. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell said FBI agents pulled up to his car in a Hardee's drive-thru in Minnesota and seized his phone. But the most disturbing part of the story is that a man worth $50 million was dining at a Hardee's. Apparently, the phone was seized as part of the Justice Department's investigation into the 2020 election interference. Lindell wasn't worried, though, because he thinks they have no real pillowcase against him. According to a new poll conducted on behalf of AT&T, 36% of adults say they don't feel like they've had a real vacation unless they post about it on social media. Now, this is dumb, okay? If you want to spend thousands of dollars just to be on your mobile device the entire time, just stay at home and buy the new iPhone instead. Now, 60% of people also said they'd be completely lost if they misplaced their phone when traveling. And the other 40% said they'd be completely lost if they misplaced their phone while at home. A group of high school boys and their dads were treated to the scene straight out of Jaws when a Mako shark jumped from the ocean right into their charter fishing boat. This was definitely scary, but if you really want to see dangerous creatures on a boat, you got to check out a Carnival Cruise. Japan's emperor and empress attended the queen's funeral instead of Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. The prime minister is definitely happy that he didn't have to go to England because he would have to suffer through the post-funeral food, see. Britain has had extended invitations to two representatives per country. The reps would be there to pay their respects to the dead and also the half-dead President Biden. Brendan Fraser recently stated he was disappointed that the Batgirl movie was shelved, but nobody was more disappointed than the studio heads who invested $90 million. Batgirl will not be released via theatrical or streaming services for tax purposes, and also so the directors don't die of embarrassment. Director Kevin Smith revealed that Ben Affleck expressed his love for Jennifer Lopez in a 12-page speech during their wedding day. It's incredible that Ben wrote a 12-page speech because most people weren't even sure he could even read. Can you imagine having to sit through 12 pages of wedding vows? This would be even more painful than watching Ben and Jen in their movie Gigi. A $50 million purse is set to be divided out with the LIV Golf season finale team championship at the end of October. Jeez, that's even more than the average purse that the Louis Vuitton and Gucci. Now, the $50 million purse is reportedly the richest in golf history. LIV really does present such a great money. They present such great money at making opportunities for these things. I mean, for all you parents, just encourage your sons to stop playing their balls at home and start playing with some balls on the golf course. Two migrant buses from Del Rio, Texas, were sent to Vice President Kamala Harris's residence at the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., but as soon as they heard her cackling, they asked to go back to Central America. Multiple migrants asked by Fox News Digital said that they think the border is open, contrary to what Harris said during the interview. Yeah, let's just say, when they mention the U.S. Open, they ain't talking about tennis. A new study finds that drivers in Utah have the worst road rage in the country, which makes sense because, you know, a ton of Californians move there. Of those surveyed, 58% of Utah respondents said that they had received an offensive gesture while on the road. Of course, the elk might be Utah's official state animal, but people have really been getting the bird. An expensive new study covering decades of research reports people who eat walnuts early in life are more likely to be physically active, eat healthy in general, and experience better heart disease risk profile as they age and enter middle adulthood. Hey, look, Americans eat plenty of walnuts in brownies, cookies, cakes. Scientists at the University of Minnesota School of Public Health theorize walnuts may act as a bridge to other healthy habits throughout life. So if you want to be healthy, put some nuts in your mouth. And on the last episode of the podcast, my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero, gave a heads up about this stupid news story. A cheating scandal is buzzing in the chess world with wild allegations of using technology, including vibrating anal beads, to signal winning moves after a teenage newcomer beat a world champion at a high-stakes tournament. Chess officials are taking allegations of hiding beads up his butt very seriously, but now say they're looking into it. They're going to probably need to dig pretty deep. But I think they're determined to get to the bottom of this. A new survey out of Japan shows that a record low number of young singles in the country say that they plan to get married someday. It's the first time that such a large group of people have actively chosen to be happy. It's a new blow to the nation's push to reverse its low fertility rates as the population rapidly ages. It's getting so bad, Japan's population is even older than those sushi rolls that you see rotting away in the supermarket deli section. The Boston Marathon will now allow biological men to compete in the women's race. It's really amazing to think how quickly sports in this country went from everybody gets a trophy to everybody gets a penis. I mean, time to buy some size 12 running shoes. I hear they have some great selections at Dick's. First Lady Jill Biden plans to host an event for Hispanic Heritage Month just 3 months after being mocked for comparing Latinos to breakfast tacos. Jill has yet to make any public statements on the celebration, but she's thinking of throwing a Mexican pizza party. I think people are willing to give Jill a pass on her comments, mainly because she's just used to the food comparison since everyone keeps calling her husband a potato. According to a recent poll of 2,000 parents with kids ages 6 and under, 56% believe that returning to school allows their children to regain normalcy by engaging in social activities and being with their friends. Meanwhile, the other 44% were honest and said they're happier that returning to school gets kids the heck out of the house. On the average, parents believe their kid has only just 4 friends. There's a scientific term that research experts have for this. It's called losers. According to a recent poll of 2,000 dog owners, 47% say that their dog reacts instinctively to the noise made when a treat container is opened. But if we're being honest here, if you open a bag of Doritos, many humans react the same way. Conducted by one poll and commissioned by Cliff Pet, the results further confirm that 67% of dogs are very food motivated. The other 33% are more motivated by chewing on the mailman. A daring groom in Parma, Italy, suffered a broken collarbone during his wedding while trying to show off for his new wife on a dirt bike. This brings a whole new meaning to the term wedding crashing. The bride was waiting with a checkered flag for her new spouse's dramatic entrance when he skidded and toppled off the bike. This isn't something that you see at every wedding. Usually, it's an open bar, not an open wound. After more than 4 decades of hosting one of television's most popular game shows of all time, Pat Sajak is starting to see retirement on the horizon. He definitely doesn't need to work anymore, though. I mean, let's just say that this man is so loaded, he can do more than buy a vowel. Although he's nearing retirement, Sajak says the Wheel of Fortune will not die. But if the show goes on without Pat, it seems like those TV producers would just be spinning their wheels. The WWE announced that Logan Paul will stage a pay-per-view match in Saudi Arabia versus the organization's 2-belt champion, Roman Reigns. With Logan Paul in the Middle East, it's the first time ever Americans are hoping for a kidnapping. Joining the WWE for bogus wrestling matches was the perfect move for Logan. I mean, after all, with his years as a YouTuber and influencer, he's used to being a gigantic phony. President Biden says it remains to be seen whether he'll run for re-election in 2024. Joe is still leaning toward running because he thinks he's the only one who can really beat Dwight D. Eisenhower. I mean, to be fair, Biden didn't even run in 2020. Frankly, the guy was home the whole summer and did, like, what, 3 virtual interviews? I think there were more Bigfoot sightings than there were Biden sightings. Biden actually attempted to put historic levels of inflation in perspective. He was arguing that the inflation number was hardly at all up from the previous month. It went from, what, 8.2 to 8.3%, which led to Kamala Harris popping up and shouting, "We did it, Joe!" Well, Biden is urging Americans not to worry. The situation will be resolved when his administration changes the definition of inflation. And according to a new survey, 90% of U.S. emoji users agreed that the icons make it easier for them to express themselves, especially the middle finger emoji. 60% of the respondents also said that using emojis improved their mental health. And when the other 40% heard that, they responded with the rolling eyes face. A 30-year-old Florida woman is accused of stabbing her roommates over a living arrangement issue and then going shopping. Luckily, she was apprehended by the fashion police. Christina Adams reportedly stabbed the 2 roommates after they asked her to stop living with them. And, well, for the life of me, I really can't imagine why they didn't want her to live there anymore. And finally, San Francisco 49ers quarterback Trey Lance will miss the rest of the season after breaking his right ankle. He'll have to stay off his feet for a while, which is a good thing in San Francisco, see, because then you can't step in any human poop on the sidewalk. Los Angeles Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert also suffered an injury, as he has fractured rib cartilage. California quarterbacks are really falling apart quicker than the state's economy. Hey, 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 hey.
You can really get up close and personal by interacting with the podcast and get the real-time updates and a little of the articles from the stupid stories that you hear when you join Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World Telegram channel. I'll be posting links to the stories that I read here on the episodes. You're able to read the actual articles, see the pictures, look at the videos, make comments about what you have actually seen or read or even heard about, and even share some of your own stupid stories with everybody in the community. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane. You get a preview of the channel, and there's also an opportunity to just download the Telegram Messenger right there from the preview channel right to your device, desktop or mobile, for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple. And also, you can interact with me as well on social media. Follow me at Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the website at InsaneEricLane.com.
Underneath this genius, I'm simply a human.
It's like a caveman thing.
And now, this week's Genius Awards.
And this week's Genius Awards include a Florida man accused of shooting at police, striking one officer in the chest, and then telling law enforcement he thought they were members of the Mexican cartel. A Florida man tells police he shot at them because he thought they were members of this Mexican drug cartel, according to this arrest affidavit. He's now facing premeditated murder charges. Lucas Alves is facing a slew of charges, including attempted first-degree premeditated murder of a law enforcement officer after he allegedly shot the officer in the chest at a Melbourne hotel. Now, he was being questioned by officers after the shooting and said that he believed the officers were members of the Mexican cartel who showed up outside his room to steal his belongings. Police were alerted to the verbal exchange and told the TV station that they arrived at the hotel to check the roommate's well-being. When officers knocked on Alves' room door, he repeatedly asked for their badge numbers several times. Alves then began to count down from three and then fired one shot through the door with his gun, striking an officer in the chest. Alves is facing three counts of attempted first-degree premeditated murder of a law enforcement officer, one count of shooting into an occupied building, and the use of a firearm during a felony. The officer shot was wearing a bulletproof vest and only suffered bruising and a small laceration on his chin. He thought the cops were Mexican cartel members? Somebody needs to lay off the Coronas and the tequila shots. I mean, who knows why he believed the Mexican cartel members were coming for him? Maybe he's been binging a little too much Ozark. And then there's this, a 39-year-old Florida woman, suspected of stealing $83 worth of cat food, was arrested at a Walmart store in the Villages. Melissa Ann Sundquist was arrested at the Walmart at Sarasota Plaza. She'd been suspected of stealing in a total of $140 in cat food on three different occasions and spanning a two-month period. She completed an internal statement for Walmart prior to the arrival of deputies. Sundquist was found to be in possession of a syringe, which tested positive for fentanyl. She also had a black plastic spoon that appeared to have cotton from a Q-tip. That cotton tested positive for methamphetamines. In addition, she had a small amount of methamphetamines on her. She was arrested on charges of possession of methamphetamine, possession of drug equipment, and theft, and was booked into the Sumter County Detention Center, but was released after posting a $3,500 bond. Boy, she stole a lot of cat food. But based on the drugs they found on her, I'm surprised it wasn't catnip. She previously got away with multiple thefts. I guess you could say she was quite the cat burglar. Or how about this? A home burglary in Dallas, Texas, took a rather unexpected turn when the owners returned to find a naked man inside. Police said the officers responded to a burglary call in Lang Circle, and when officers arrived, the homeowners told them they had returned to find a nude man inside their home. By then, the naked man had somehow climbed onto the roof of the house. Upon seeing the police,
The nude man climbed down from the roof and ran across a creek behind the house, and officers then called for backup and began to search the area for the man. But eventually, they found him hiding in a tree near the home. Dallas Fire Rescue took the naked suspect to the hospital for a medical evaluation and a change of clothes. Despite his state of undress, the alleged burglar was not injured. He had been charged with burglary and was taken to the Lew Sterrett Jail when he discharged from the hospital. The investigation is still ongoing. So imagine returning home, and there's this random naked guy in your house. It's kind of scary, you know, when you find a spider, but really horrifying when it's a trouser snake. Yeah, they found this guy naked, hiding in a tree. Yeah. Luckily, that was the only wood he had. And what about this? A 22-year-old Georgia man assaulted another person with a machete at a Waffle House before stealing a motorcycle and leading police on a chase through two counties. Zachary Miller struck the man in the head with a machete in the parking lot of a Waffle House in Dawsonville, Georgia, shortly before 10 p.m., according to the Dawson County Sheriff Jeff Johnson. The victim of the assault didn't suffer any injuries. After he hit the man, Miller allegedly stole a motorcycle and then led deputies on a high-speed chase through Dawson and Hall counties. The chase finally ended after Miller crashed the motorcycle near a church in Hall County. Deputies searched Miller after the crash and allegedly discovered crushed pills they believed to be alprazolam, as well as three baggies of methamphetamine. Miller sustained injuries in the crash and was transported to Northeast Georgia Medical Center before he was taken to the Dawson County Detention Center. He's being held without bond and faces charges of armed robbery, aggravated assault, possession of a controlled substance with an intent to distribute, possession of tools for the commission of a crime, fleeing and eluding an officer, and DUI of drugs. Boy, there's a lot going on here. But at least the surprising thing is that an assault went down at the Waffle House. It's not every day you hear about a machete causing bodily harm at a Waffle House. Usually it's just the food. And you got to check this one out. A 36-year-old Florida man was arrested and accused of using an excavator to crush a woman's truck after she failed to find enough money to buy drugs. According to the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Richard Hamilton was laughing hysterically as he used the bucket of an excavator to smash the woman's Chevy Silverado pickup. Deputies said the incident began when Hamilton drove the woman to several gas stations around town, all while demanding she find money for drugs. Hamilton became increasingly agitated after the woman failed to come up with enough money. A day later, Hamilton and the woman drove to his place of work at Kelly's Stone, Sand, and Boulders. And there, Hamilton got out of the woman's pickup, took the keys with him, and sometime later, he was seen laughing hysterically while smashing the pickup truck with the bucket of the excavator. Deputies spoke to Hamilton at his place of work and then arrested him. He now faces several charges, including criminal mischief of more than $1,000 in damage. Jeez, what an absolutely crazy thing to do. He decides to crack the car because he couldn't get some crack cocaine? Something kind of tells me he might be losing his job at Kelly's Stone, Sand, and Boulders, but he'll definitely still be dealing with crack rocks. And you'll never believe this one. A 20-year-old sorority sister from a small town was busted for jokingly making a bomb threat on the Kentucky college campus that she attends. Haley Reed was charged with first-degree terroristic threatening and was taken into custody by police at Western Kentucky University, where she goes to school. University police originally investigated suspicious materials that authorities thought might be an explosive device on one part of campus, though it was later determined to just be construction material. Shortly following that unfounded suspicion, police said an anonymous threat was posted on social media that then zeroed in on a campus parking structure. The newspaper reported police determined that scare was also unfounded and soon found a person of interest who admitted that the threat had no validity. Unfortunately, a student made that post on the Yik Yak social media site, said the WKU public information officer, Melissa Bailey. The student posted it to be a joke. those things are taken very seriously, so we investigate those threats to be to the fullest. And they were taken into custody. Students at Western Kentucky University absolutely did not need this incident to occur. After all, they do enough bombing on their midterm exams. I mean, what is a college kid doing calling in bomb threats? You know, she just should have gone to a sorority party and gotten bombed. Okay, one more. A 51-year-old convicted felon in Missouri, accused of live-streaming threats to bomb and kill people while he was dressed up as the Batman villain known as the Joker, was sentenced to 60 days in jail with credit for several months served after his arrest. Jeremy Garnier was sentenced to, after pleading guilty, to a misdemeanor charge of making a terroristic threat. Prosecutors reduced the charge from a felony for the incident. Garnier told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch he never intended to make a threat and pleaded guilty to the misdemeanor to avoid many more months in jail. "I was talking like the Joker," Garnier said in a telephone interview. "I was in character. Everybody knew it was a joke and that I had no intentions of following through with a threat." Garnier told the Post-Dispatch he served more than 20 years in federal and state prison for robbing a credit union back in the 1980s and for other felonies in order to support his crack habit. He said he's now sober and wants to use his platform to raise awareness about the opioid epidemic. He said that he has learned another hard lesson. Think before you act, he says. He was sentenced to 60 days in jail. Many are now questioning why he wasn't sent to Arkham Asylum. No word on how he'll be transported to jail. Maybe I can assume via the Batmobile? Of course, if you like the podcast and you made it through this far, rate it and review it. Give it a 5-star rating because, look, I try to pick 5-star stupidity. And if you write a really stupid review of the podcast, I just might read it on an upcoming episode. Rating and reviewing the podcast helps it to show up prominently in searches for all those people that are desperate and searching for stupidity. And don't forget to share the podcast on social media feeds, since you don't want to be known for being stingy with your stupidity. So when you subscribe, you can also get that stupid fix every time there are new episodes published to your podcast player. And you can download every episode and listen, but for free. That way, if you don't have adequate internet or cell coverage, you won't be interrupted. And if you're looking for a really good podcast app, I always recommend Podcast Addict. It's available at your app store, absolutely free, but you can also get a couple of paid versions. It's really customizable. I think you'll really like it. Don't forget, besides this midweek bonus episode, there are actually two feeds every week. The second one is the weekend feed with Pancho Guero, my insane Florida nephew, with more stupid stories from Florida and beyond. And Pancho also answers questions from people seeking to tap his sage wisdom. They ask Pancho about some of life's biggest questions. You can also play along with Pancho in the weekly round of the Insane Game Show. Plus, don't forget, interact with me and the podcast through the Telegram Messenger app, and you can join the Insane Eric Lane Stupid World channel that way. I post links to the stupid stories I read from every episode. There you can actually read the articles and discuss what you've heard on the podcast or read in the articles, check out the videos and the pictures, share the articles with your friends. You can preview that channel and get a link to download the Telegram Messenger at t.me/insaneEricLane, t.me/insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E. The app is available for desktop or mobile versions with platforms for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple. Don't forget to follow me on social media with the handle Insane Eric Lane on Facebook and Twitter, and get all the information all at one-stop shop at my website at InsaneEricLane.com. And finally, this week's verbal meme: I don't think I meet the height requirements to ride your emotional roller coaster. If you think I have written all the stuff that goes into this podcast, you're giving me way too much credit. No, I have to give credit to a talented bank of writers that I rely on for most of this stupidity. I haven't got enough hours of the day to go scoping out all the stupidity that's out there, so I have to give props to Mr. Laughs Comedy and Ad Large Media, Premier Prep, Wise Brother Media, the Universal Comedy Network,
and Pulse of Radio at the United Stations Radio Network. Thanks for sticking it out through my stupid world. And if you're feeling a bit crazy, I hope you'll follow me on Facebook or Twitter at Insane Eric Lane and visit InsaneEricLane.com. And if you're feeling a bit insane and want to make your own podcast, you can do it with Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast ever. The only platform where you can publish to major podcast outlets like Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music with a single tap of a button on your phone. Whether you're capturing your own voice, taking call-ins from listeners, conducting remote interviews with anyone, or broadcasting full-length songs from Apple Music or Spotify. Available today for iOS and Android, and it's 100% free, entirely mobile, and so easy to use that literally anyone can make a podcast, even me. Find out more at anchor.fm.